Welcome to the Make Room Show, formerly titled The 29-Minute Mom. I am your host, Jennifer Ford Berry, certified professional organizer, best-selling author, and coach. I've spent the last two decades teaching women how to get organized so that they can free up more space, time, energy, and money. This podcast is for the woman who wants to make room in her home and in her life for the people and the things that matter the most. Each week, I am bringing you episodes that will help you feel less overwhelmed and more inspired to create the life that you deserve. So come on, girl, let's do this together. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Make Room Show. I am super excited about this episode. It's been a hot minute since I've had a guest on. I don't think we've even had a guest on since the rebrand in January. So getting back into having some guests on the show. And today, the first guest we're going to have is Leah Marie Mazur. So welcome to the show, Leah.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to hang out with you.
Yes, this is going to be so fun. Leah is a certified divorce recovery coach and founder of Mindfully Ready. She specializes in helping women navigate the mental and emotional side of divorce so they can heal faster and move forward with confidence. I love this. So many women are going to need to hear what you have to say today. And I know you're going to just give them the boost of just inspiration and confidence they need. So happy you're here. And I want to start out by just like, tell us a little bit about why you got into this line of work of being a divorce recovery coach.
Yeah. Like, how did this happen? Yeah. So I'll take you back a little bit. So when I was 16 years old, I actually witnessed my mom have an asthma attack in our home and die. It was very traumatic for me, as you can imagine. And then only 5 years later, my dad died of pancreatic cancer. And I'm an only child. So by 21 years old, I was kind of alone in the world trying to figure out how everything worked. And so I didn't realize it at the time, but my coping mechanism was becoming a serial monogamist. I was hopping from one relationship to the next for years because of my abandonment issues and my fear of being alone. And so after my second divorce, that was my wake up call. That's when I realized, okay, obviously I'm stuck in some sort of pattern here. I've got to reassess what's going on so that I can get some different results in my life. And so that's when I dove into all the things. I mean, I was in therapy, doing journaling, meditation, everything you could think of, all the self-help. And I was able to get myself to, you know, quote unquote, the other side. And when I did, I was able to create a framework so that I could help other women who were going through a divorce and give them the best tools and the most effective methods so that they can skip all that trial and error, maybe save themselves from a second divorce like I experienced, and just make things easier for them so they can move on and enjoy their next chapter.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to ask you a personal question. After your first divorce, how much time did you put into self-development then, compared to after the second one?
After my first divorce, 0%. Mm-hmm. I hopped right into another relationship. I did no self-reflection. I didn't focus on building my self-esteem. I did none of I did everything you're not supposed to do. And so after the second divorce, I spent about 2.5 years working hard on myself. And I mean, if we want to be real, that never ends. I am still every day, I'm always working on myself. I mean, it's not like you wake up and you're like, oh, I made it, I'm done. So, but it was a solid 2.5 years of a lot of self-reflection and learning how to fulfill myself and building my self-esteem back up.
That's what I probably expected you to say. Just because So I want to kind of dive into that a little deeper because I see so many women skip that part, right? You're saying mm-hmm. you spent 2.5 years, but obviously, like you mentioned, it never ends. Mm-hmm. But my thought process and what I've seen a lot of women I know go through is if they jump back into the relationship, aren't you just like attracted to the same type of man? Maybe, you haven't changed what needed to be fixed about yourself. and you haven't, you're not the same person that you were when you first got married, right? A lot has changed. So you need to give yourself time to breathe, refocus, find out who you are. Why do so many women skip the most important work?
It's a few things. One is a fear of being alone. It's, you know, a lot of women have the mentality of, I'm only getting older, I'm running out of time, no one's going to want me, now I have all this baggage, right? So they're quick to try to hurry up and nail someone down. And a lot of times they don't give themselves the time to do that self-reflection. And so what's actually happening is they're using that external source, which is a relationship, to fill some kind of void that they have within themselves. Like, I need to feel loved or whole or happy or fulfilled or enough. So I need to find someone to make me feel that way, when really it's backwards. You want, you know, because everyone asks me, how long do I have to wait until I have to, you know, until I can date again? And if I had that formula, I'd be a billionaire. Everyone wants the answer to that.
Yeah.
There really isn't one, because everyone's different. Everyone's marriage and divorce is different. But here's a great rule of thumb. You want to get yourself to a place where you feel whole and happy and fulfilled all by yourself. And then that's the best place to be in to date, because you're going to know what you want. You're going to have high standards and strong deal breakers. You want to be in the place where a relationship is something you want just to add value to your life, not something you feel like you need.
Okay. I want to unpack this so much. Like, I'm like, yes, please tell us more. Number one, I wanted to say two things. Do not turn off this episode if you haven't gone through a divorce, because all I'm hearing is that if I'm a married woman, I can benefit from this. And if I'm a young girl that hasn't even got married, I can benefit from this. And I'll tell you why. Number one, if you're married and your whole entire identity is being a wife, you have to start working on this, because if something were to happen, you need to know that you are so much more than just being somebody's wife. And that self-reflection and that work you can do starts today. The other thing is, if you have not gotten married, you need to do this work, because halves don't make a whole when it comes to a relationship. If you're a whole person, you will attract a better mate for yourself. I preached this so much to my daughter. She was, you know, that teenager, college kid that was picking all the wrong men. And she spent a year and a half, almost 2 years doing the work. And she all of a sudden attracted this amazing person. And I always tell her, you would have never, ever attracted the person you're with now if you didn't do the work. And so women need to hear this. We're going to talk about ways that you can fill yourself up, right? Not expecting a man to fill you up, but do it for yourself. So this really is an episode for all types of women, I believe. Why are we so afraid to be alone, Leah?
I think it's that idea that being alone is the same as feeling lonely. Right? There's ways to not be in a relationship and still not feel lonely. You can connect with others. You can find fulfillment, right? There's things that you could do to make yourself a really wonderful, balanced life that doesn't necessarily entail having a romantic partner.
Right. So tell us, you know, how did you find that for yourself? Because immediately I'm thinking of all the ways that for me, like, my girlfriends do that for me. So if I were to get divorced tomorrow, I'd be planning trips with my girlfriends. I'd be joining new groups, meeting new women. Like, I would be able to get emotional support from other women. What did you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so important, is nurturing the relationships you already have, finding ways to stay connected. Even, you know, I mean, everybody has their life, everyone's busy, but we live in a very digital world. Like, do a FaceTime coffee once a week, right? Something. But another huge thing that I'm always reminding my clients is to get a creative outlet, right? Get a hobby. That's the time to explore and experiment and discover and do all the things. What did you used to be interested in that you didn't have time for anymore? Or if you got busy because you had the kids, right? What kinds of things were you kind of drawn to, but you never really experimented with? Do it all, right? Because that's how you're going to learn about yourself, build your self-confidence, pass the time, and then create opportunities to meet like-minded people and connect with other people. So I'll tell you a quick story. After my second divorce, when I was going through all of this, like, who am I? What do I want? I decided I wanted to join a band. I was always loving singing, but I had never performed in front of people. It was always something I just kind of did like in the closet. Yeah. And so I was like, you know what? New chapter, new me. I'm going to join a band. And so I was looking online and I found a local cover band who was looking for a lead vocalist. So I scheduled the interview, right? The audition. I drove, it was a 45-minute drive, and I was so nervous. I remember I was listening to like Confidence Hypnosis app, like all the way to pump myself up, because it was so outside of my comfort zone. That's something that I had never done before. But I told myself, you know what? It doesn't even matter if you get the part. I'm just going to be proud of myself for showing up, because this is huge for me. And so I went and I auditioned, and I was like shaking and sweating and so nervous, but I ended up getting the part. And so it was so fun. I was so proud of myself. My confidence skyrocketed. I was doing something that was fulfilling to me, something I looked forward to, and it opened up these opportunities to meet a whole new world of people. And I'm still in a band. I'm in a different band, but I still do it. I still sing, and it's a huge part of my life. And so that's the thing, is you've got to be willing to step outside of your comfort zone and do those things and try, and not fear opinions of others and fear failure, because that's how you're going to find yourself and find that fulfillment.
I love that you did that. One, because I always wanted to be in a band. I can't sing. Really? I will play freaking tambourine. Like, it's my job. Like, I love playing the tambourine in bands. And I want to be on stage. I was always a dancer. But okay. The second part is the fact that you push yourself out of your comfort zone. You can't grow if you don't try new things and you don't feel uncomfortable. And yeah. So, but the third thing is, it opened up this whole world of people, I'm sure, and experiences and memories that you would have never saw if you didn't push yourself, even when you felt like you wanted to probably turn the car around and go home, right? And
yep. Play it safe. Yep. You just show up, you do it scared. I literally was sweating and shaking. I was so scared, but you got to do it anyway. Do it scared.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to come see you perform.
Yeah.
Yay. So here's another thing that I noticed, talking back to the surrounding yourself with girlfriends, and even when you're in a relationship, to make that a priority, because mm-hmm. something could happen to your relationship. And then all of a sudden you look around, you're alone, and you don't have anybody to hang out with. I see that happen so often, where women will get into a relationship and then you don't hear from them. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is like, if you are in a relationship where you feel like you can't go off on your own with your friends, that's probably a red flag to begin with. But what kind of advice do you have for women that are, maybe that's been their thing, like they're in a pattern of that?
Yeah, it's important to just somehow stay connected, because I think what happens is people feel like, oh, I just don't have time. I just don't have the time. I'm in the middle of this. I'm taking my kids to sports, and I'm cooking dinner and I'm cleaning, and I don't have time to schedule leaving and going and meeting friends somewhere. Mm-hmm. But again, like, you can keep in a loop in a group text, or do a FaceTime, or do a call, or even an email. Just staying connected, that's going to help you maintain relationships, even in a busy world when you're juggling a million things. And creative outlets, hobbies, that's how you meet people, or joining support groups. You can even just get on Facebook. There's thousands of groups just to connect with other women. It's so important. And that's one of the things, kind of going back to what you said, is even when you're in a relationship, your happiness is always your responsibility forever. Right? It's like, we have been fed this message. I remember even from when I was so young, that the goal is to like find a man, find a relationship. You know, that movie, Jerry Maguire with Tom Cruise, you know, you complete me. It's just, it's such a toxic message. All those Disney movies we used to watch. Yeah. The Prince Charming, we need Prince Charming to come rescue us. We don't. We can do it on our own, and we can be really happy and fulfilled. And then if you do find your ideal partner, bonus, that's extra, that's adding value to your life.
Exactly. So Let's talk a little bit about self-confidence, because I feel like it takes a certain level of self-confidence in order to believe that you are just as valuable on your own. It also is important when you're going to put yourself out there meeting people. You know, women can be very scared to go into new groups of women if they're lacking that self-confidence. I've also seen the most confident women in the world just be completely leveled because they got divorced. And now that confidence is gone because they quote unquote failed at their marriage, and that mm-hmm. eats them up. They have shame. They have all the things. So let's talk about, you know, how can women that are feeling that way start to really be intentional about rebuilding their self-confidence?
So a huge part of that, like you were saying, that shame and that feelings of failure, and that's all that inner narrative, that's self-talk. Mm-hmm. So a really simple tool that you can start using is positive affirmations. And I know that people are probably, you know, they're here, oh yeah, I hear positive affirmations. Like I hear about it all the time. There's study upon study that shows that this literally reprograms your subconscious, because whether you realize it or not, you're already using affirmations. You're probably just using ones that make you feel bad about yourself. So you have to shift that inner narrative and start telling yourself the things that make you feel better about yourself. And at first, it's going to feel weird. It's going to almost feel like you're just lying to yourself. You're saying these words that don't really mean anything to you. But the more you do it, the more you believe it. And then you can get yourself to that place, because confidence doesn't come first. It comes after you push yourself to do the scary thing and then realize, oh, I didn't die. I'm still standing. I can do this. And if I could do that, well, then maybe I could do this. Maybe I can go try that. If I could do this, maybe I could do that. So confidence comes from just having courage to try.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I also think that you can be proactive with this. Like you can listen to podcasts where mm-hmm. you're being fed a positive message. You can surround yourself by other confident people. You can, mm-hmm. you know, work on your body. You can work on self-care. There's things you can do that will start to expand your confidence. Mm-hmm. And as far as affirmations go, I also think it's really powerful to write them over and over, so your brain remembers it, not just to say it one day, like, okay, I'm a very confident woman, check. Doesn't work that way. Writing it or even speaking it and recording your own voice is the most powerful thing, because your brain will start to believe it. And mm-hmm. I think that the more you show up as your true authentic self, that gives you confidence, right? Like even mm-hmm. when you're scared, just love yourself and walk mm-hmm. into the room and say, if not everybody likes me, it's okay. I'm not for yeah. everybody, but
yeah, and that's myself. how you'll attract your tribe, right? By yeah. you showing up is and you accepting yourself. That's how you'll find people who also accept you for who you are. And yes, like going back to listening to podcasts and just being really mindful of what you're consuming. So social media is a big part of that too. You've got to be really careful about how you feel when you're scrolling. I mean, if you're on Facebook and you're on Instagram and you're seeing everyone's shiny, happy pictures of their like perfect little families and their lives, and it's making you feel worse or making you feel like you're somehow behind in life, then you need to stop doing that. You need to either unfollow people that are making you feel like that, or start adding in accounts that make you feel better. People who are motivating you and inspiring you and helping you learn things about yourself, right? You have to be so careful of how you feel after you're doing certain things. And then that's how you can make little tweaks to make sure that you're staying in alignment.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What is, as far as that kind of leads us to my next question. What do you suggest if somebody is newly divorced or going through a divorce? I know several people in that boat right now. What would you say would be the top priorities for them? Like what, how are they spending their time? What's going to help them the most?
Number one is self-care. That's so underestimated. But divorce is one of the hardest things that you'll ever go through in your life. If you Google like what's the hardest thing a person can experience, divorce is always in the top five. It's right under death of a loved one. There's so much transition. So that is not the time. It is. You're grieving a lot. You're grieving not only the loss of your partner, but the loss of the future you thought you were going to have, the loss of your identity. Maybe you had to move out of the family home. There's a lot of loss. Mm-hmm. So you have to go through that. But it's so important to not put yourself on the back burner. That's when you have to take care of yourself more than ever. And it's not just making sure you're going and getting like a mani-pedi and doing a face mask. Like those things are nice, but we're talking, how's the quality of your sleep? Are you drinking enough water? Are you eating foods that nourish you? Are you moving your body? Are you getting exercise? Are you getting in nature? Take care of yourself so that you feel better, so that you can manage your emotions, so that you could think more clearly and stay in tune with yourself. And another really important thing is journaling. Journal, journal, journal. I've been in therapy at several different points in my life and they've all told me to journal. So here you go. I'm saving you some money on therapy. Journaling is such an important tool because when you've got all of those thoughts and feelings going on in your brain, it's just hard to make sense of it sometimes. It's hard to kind of see those blind spots. So when you write it out, it helps you see yourself more objectively and it helps you track your progress, because I can't tell you how many times I've had a client come to me and say, I just feel like I should be further along than I am now. Why do I still get triggered? Or why am I still crying? But if you look back a month ago, 2 months ago, you know, you'll see, oh, wow. Yeah, I do remember feeling that way. And yes, I definitely have made progress, right? Because healing is not a linear thing. You don't wake up every day and feel a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. Healing is a road full of potholes. So it's really like back and forth and back and forth, but you're still headed in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. Very much like grief. You know, it's just like, even if somebody passed away and there's so many levels of grief afterwards and you just want to get back to your old self, it's the same with this because you're grieving.
Yeah.
And then if you do have children, you're dealing with their grief. And a lot of times women will put their grief on the back burner to deal with their children's, right? But we have to take care of ourselves. So talk to the mom out there that is maybe could have gotten through it a little faster, but they're just so heartbroken for their children.
Yeah. One thing you need to remember is divorce doesn't only have negative effects on kids. There's a lot of research that supports that there's actually a lot of benefits to getting a divorce for your children. And the one thing is you're teaching them, like we're modeling what a marriage is, what a relationship looks like, what you should or should not tolerate. Are you putting your own well-being at the forefront? So you're showing them that if you're not happy in a situation, or if you're in a toxic situation, no matter what anyone else says, it's okay to leave and it's okay to put yourself first. When you're thinking about those things, you know, I feel so bad. I feel like I ruined my kid's life. You know, the mom guilt is very real. I mean, it happens all the time, but this is a really powerful question you can ask yourself. If my kids were in this situation, what would I have wanted them to do? Mm-hmm. And the answer is always, I would want them to leave. I wouldn't be telling them, well, you should have sucked it up and deal with it, right? No, I want them to make sure that they're happy and they're fulfilled. And if they're not in the right situation, then they have the right, they owe it to themselves to get out. And it's also showing them that their well-being is their responsibility. You've got to lead from the front. You're setting that example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk for a moment to the woman that is married and she thinks to herself, this could be me. Like something doesn't feel right. I feel like I could end up in a divorce, but they're not there yet. What would you have told your former self when you were at that moment where, you know, you could either come from a place of, I'm still at the place where I want to make it work. What would I have done differently? Step one, or step two is when you hung on too long and you missed that point when you should have left.
Yeah, that's funny. So one thing I hear so much is I should have left sooner. I mean, I hear that constantly. It takes on average 2 years for someone to pull the trigger on divorce. And usually about 70%, even higher, of divorces are initiated by women. So it's essentially these women who get to their breaking point. They're like, okay, I'm done. Nothing's changing. So if you're kind of at that point, there's some things you can consider. You know, ask yourself, what would need to change? And what is the likelihood of those changes, you know, changes being realistic or actually happening? Do you already have one foot out the door? Are you already kind of checked out? Or do you want to try to work on the relationship? And is the other person also willing to work on it? Because it takes two. I mean, you could be willing to hang on for a lot longer, but if the other one's checked out, that's out of your control, right? And this is a really powerful question too, is if you knew that you could skip that post-breakup period and that everything would work out in your favor, would you choose to stay? You know, a lot of people would say no, because what I find is most women, they already know what they want. They when they come to me, they just need that validation. They know that they want to leave. It's just that fear of what's next. Mm-hmm. That's what keeps them from taking that step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is very, very scary. Your whole entire life changes. But I do stress so profoundly that in between, like, be prepared to be alone and work on yourself. Because if you're just afraid to be alone, you're going to get back into a relationship with the first guy that comes around just to avoid that uncomfortable feeling, right?
Yes. And that's exactly what happened to me. After my first divorce, I was afraid of being alone. I hopped right into another relationship. That one didn't work out. So about 2 years later, we broke up and I was immediately back on those dating apps. It was a pattern. It was a pattern of mine. And I married the first person I went on a date with. He moved in within a few months. We were engaged within 8 months. I mean, it was just like bada bing, bada boom. And then 2 years into the marriage, that is when I really had I like broke down. I remember I was in my bedroom and I fell to my knees and I was sobbing because I couldn't believe. I was like, I can't believe I'm here again. I cannot believe I have to do this all over again and start all over from scratch. And so, yes, that's what happens is we settle or we choose the wrong partners or we miss those red flags. A lot of this comes down to self-reflection. That's such an important part of healing. It's very easy when you're leaving a relationship to play the blame game. He did this to me and he did that, or he never did this, which is fine. I'm sure that those are valid, but what role did you play? That's so important. Where were you mentally and emotionally when you started the relationship? What boundaries maybe were you not setting that you needed to set? What red flags did you miss or ignore? When you do that, that's what's going to empower you to make better choices in the future.
Yes. So good. The people that I know that this has happened to more than once, I noticed I can always tell when they're almost like a chameleon for the new person they're with. Mm-hmm. So there, you start to see their old, you know, who you know them to be, like as a friend, is not there. Now I'm this new version of myself, which really is just a reflection of this new man in my life. That's not their authentic self.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah. And so what happens is when that relationship doesn't work out, that is your responsibility because you came out with this chameleon part of you that isn't your true self. And then a couple of years down the road, however long it takes, you're sick of being that girl, right? You're sick of bending and swaying the way he wants you to bend and sway, but you set it up that way.
Yeah.
You, that's the person he was dating. It wasn't your true self. It was what you thought he wanted you to be.
Yes. And that's why getting yourself to that place, to that good place first is important, because then when you do show up on dates, you're not going to show up thinking, am I good enough for him? Is he going to like me? Is he going to judge me based on the fact that I've gotten divorced or my baggage? You show up like, are you good enough for me? Do you have what I want? Are you adding value to my life? Because if this doesn't work out, I'm good. I don't need it to. I'm not attached to any outcome.
Yes. So true. Now, okay. So here's another factor. So you get back into a relationship. I'm sure if we were to go back, maybe not, could be wrong, and ask your friends and family when you were in that second relationship, they could probably see the red flags, right? They could probably see.
Oh yeah. They're all telling me this is too fast. You know, you shouldn't, but you have to be in a place to receive that information. If your mind is already made up or you're making decisions based off of fear, it doesn't matter what anybody says or what they think. You're going to do what you think you should do.
Right. But I feel like as women, sometimes we need to just stop and hear our family and friends. Like, they knew us longer. They love us. And they can see, when you're in that love bubble, you really can't see clearly sometimes, but you have to be a mature adult that is willing to receive anything from someone that loves you. And that a lot of times that's not the case. So what are some of those red flags that, you know, you looking back, you're like, it was there. I just didn't see it. Mm-hmm.
Or specifically, specifically for my relationship, there was a lot of red flags. I don't want to talk too much, give you details too much about the person exactly, just for his own privacy. But here's the thing, red flags, you can see red flags also in yourself. So one of the biggest ones that I've experienced too is just moving too quickly. That's a huge red flag. There's no reason to do that. And you'll see this, especially with narcissists, like high conflict people, they have that love bombing stage in the beginning and they want to rush right through things, but you won't really know who a person is unless you give that time. People have to earn your trust. You shouldn't feel like you have to give yourself completely to someone right in the beginning. You need to just give, you know, a little piece of yourself and then kind of sit back and wait and see what happens and see what they do with it. And if you kind of like where things are going, you can give another little piece and then you chill again. You want it to take time so that you know that this is the right partner and you know that they're being genuine and honest. And another good way to kind of spot some red flags is, this is also really good if you're afraid, if you've come out of like a toxic relationship and you're afraid you're going to choose another toxic partner, is when you're giving it time in the beginning, is wait and just see what happens when things happen. Like if they get a parking ticket, if they get their order wrong at a restaurant, if you're playing a board game and they lose, things that would trigger someone, how do they handle that stuff? How do they handle the unexpected life that is thrown at them? That is a great way to determine what kind of personality you're dealing with, because people are always on their best behavior in the beginning of a relationship. It's like a job interview, right? You're going to see everyone's shiny best in the beginning. When you give it time, that's when the real person will surface.
Absolutely. And also keep track of when you have something big that you're celebrating, you achieved. How do they celebrate with you? How do they,
yeah,
are they trying to keep you small, or are they trying to be your number one fan?
Yes.
My other question would be how important it is to take your children's opinion of that person into account.
That's tough. My personal opinion is, unless there's something that the child is worried about as far as safety or just getting a really bad feeling from someone, I don't think that it's their call. Sometimes children do have a hard time accepting a new partner, and that's okay. You can give them time. You don't have to push that relationship or force that relationship onto your kids. You can let them kind of develop their own relationship. But I don't believe that your children should be the ones determining who is and is not the right partner for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it just depends on their age, their maturity level. You know, have they gotten to know the person or not? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many factors,
right?
But it does make it very difficult if your child is not on board, and, you know, it makes it difficult to date somebody like that. I've just seen that number of times. Mm-hmm. What else do women that are listening today that are in this situation need to hear from you, Leah?
Well, one thing that's hard for some people to hear, but it's a really good thing to be mindful of, is be careful of your alcohol consumption.
Ooh.
You know, when you're going through something like this, there's a lot of reasons to want to drink. You know, if you're stressed, if he triggers you and you're mad, if you want to kind of relax, or even if you're celebrating, there's a lot of reasons to kind of sprinkle alcohol into the mix. But here's the thing, it's a depressant. At the end of the day, that's a depressant. So if you're already in a place where it's hard for you to manage your emotions, drinking alcohol is not going to help you regulate yourself. That's only going to make things worse. It increases your stress, your depression, your anxiety. It completely ruins your sleep. Whether you realize it or not, the quality of sleep that you're getting is negatively affected by even a small amount of alcohol. And again, that's not helping either. You want to make sure that you're getting that quality sleep. Also, I have seen time and time again that when you are under the influence, you tend to do things that then you regret the next day, like text bombing your ex or hooking up with your next door neighbor. And now you got to see him. And, you know, you didn't mean for that to turn into anything, or things that you, you know, later would be like, oh my God, like, why did I do that? Right. So watch the alcohol consumption. I know that you're stressed, but this is the time to get those healthy coping mechanisms. You know, that's the other thing is if you have kids, you don't want to teach them that that's your coping mechanism. You want to show them healthy things like exercise, getting into nature, scream into a pillow, you know, get a playlist going. Music is so therapeutic. Get a playlist that pumps you up and makes you feel good, and like put on some headphones and dance around the house. Find healthy ways to cope.
That is such a good piece of advice. Huge. And you know, we all know, you have a few too many drinks on this date with this person, you're feeling like your sexy best self, you might not think it through that now he thinks it's going further than you wanted it to go. You're going to have multiple dates after this. And next morning you wake up and you're like, I don't even know if I want to see this person again.
Yes.
And now you have to deal with your questions or just overthinking in general. Did I do this? Did I do that? Should I have said this? Should I have said that? Just like have your conscience be clear.
Yeah.
You know what you said and did, and you stand by it. You know, so much. You don't need the extra guilt if you're already going through a divorce. Yeah.
Yes. It just complicates things.
Wow. Very, very good. Thank you so much for being on this show. We're going to have your link in the show notes. So if anybody wants to work with you further and they're just like, yes, I need this girl in my life, help me get through this time period, they can find you. And I just appreciate the work you're doing. And thank you for helping all the women out there that need you.
Thank you. This was fun. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Until next time, have a great day.
Imagine the chance to slip away for a few days, someplace where you can release the constant pressure to do more, be more, say more, and reach more, where conversation is authentic and meaningful, rest is prioritized, and food is deliciously prepared by someone other than you. Welcome to the Focus Retreat. This is an event that I am co-hosting this coming September. Ladies, I am so, so excited to personally invite you to this very special gathering. Finally, we can meet together in person, face to face. Can you imagine? I would love to meet you face to face. This is a chance where you can get away and refine your focus on every aspect of the integrated life, family, organization, confidence, you and strategy. You'll discover how to do less in order to achieve more, to increase your impact on the people and the projects that matter the most. That's what we're all about here on the Make Room Show, right? So check it out. Go to thefocusretreat.com right now. And if you sign up, please do me a favor, DM me or send me an email and say, Jennifer, I am coming, because ladies, I want to meet as many of you as I can in person. And if you do come and you are a listener of the show, I am going to carve out some special downtime just for us and the listeners of the show. So again, thefocusretreat.com. You do not want to miss it.